Actually, before we go to listen only mode, I was kind of hoping we could kind of do introductions. I know we've got a lot of names there, but I don't know who all is with which organizations. So it was kind of go through the list of agencies, and then if you would say your name and either like your title or which office you're out of or something like that, that would be helpful. Is everybody where they can speak? Okay, we'll just give this a shot. Is
Yes.
anyone from FSWA? Okay, how about GDOT in a plant? Do we have anyone from DOT up in Atlanta for planning?
Mid Green GDOT Planning.
Okay.
Tom Kaffa, also GDOT Planning.
I'm so say your name again, please.
My name is Tom Kaiafa.
Oh, okay. All right. Welcome. Thank you. And who else from GDOT?
This is Ansley Green.
Well, Andre Smith, but I'm from.
I'm Andre.
This is Trina from GDOT Planning.
Wow. Okay. A little hard to read. Did everybody else get that?
Nope.
Can you say your names one more time, please? Start with the lady from Atlanta Planning, the last one.
Oh, maybe it was me. This is Trang Mai from GDOT Planning.
Okay, welcome. And the gentleman that was right before you.
Andre Smith, I'm from the Office of Program Delivery.
Program Delivery. Okay, thank you. Welcome. Anyone else from GDOT? Do we have anyone from the district office?
This is Emily Grantham. I'm with the Office of Intermodal.
Intermodal?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, just for the local office. Okay, who do we have from the MPO staff?
This is Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, Pam.
Lakota here too.
Okay, thank
this
you.
This is Asia Herrington, Core MPO.
And this is Alicia Hunter.
Okay. Oh. Thank you. Okay, do we have anyone from City of Bloomingdale? Okay, City of Richmond Hill. Okay.
Richmond Hill is Alex Floyd. It looks like he can't speak or doesn't have his mic on. He's sitting in for Scott Allison today.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Gotcha. Chatham County, that's me, Pamela Bernard. Do we have anyone from Bike Walk Savannah?
Hey, that's Kayla here.
Hi. Thank you. City of Pooler?
Hey Pam, it's Leon. I'm here for the City of Pooler.
Okay, thank you. Hey Leon. Okay, let's see. Savannah Airport Commission?
Yes, this is Mark Denmark. I'm the Assistant Director of Engineering for the airport.
Great, thank you. City of Garden City?
Pam, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, Ron. City of Port Wentworth?
Trent Wall.
Hi, welcome. Hi. Okay, Coastal Regional Commission. Okay, City of Tybee Island.
Yeah, Pete Colbronson, City Engineer.
Great, thanks. Chatham Area Transit.
I'm here, it's Bren Dice.
Great, thank you. How about, is there anyone else from the MPC? Okay,
I'm Melanie Wilson.
Oh, hi, great. Thank you for joining us.
I'm Pamela Everett.
I'm double booked today, so I will be here for most of the time.
Okay. And Georgia Ports Authority. Okay. City of Savannah.
I know I have Steve.
Steve Henry. Director of Mobility Services.
did you say Director of Mobility Services? Now, did you change positions or did they change your title?
No, that's what they call us now, Mobility Services.
Okay. All right.
So kind of picture Mobility Services under that. We got Traffic Engineering and Street Maintenance. So got a couple.
So did you move up then? Okay.
It's a matter of perspective.
Okay. All right. Effingham County. No.
Yeah, okay. Teresa Contanin's here.
Oh, great. Okay, thank you. Town of Thunderbolt. Okay. And Town of Vernonburg. Okay. All right. Have I missed anyone? Anybody else? Okay, great. All right. We'll move on then to approval of the agenda. Has everyone had a chance to review the agenda for today? Does anyone have anything that they would like to add? Okay. All right. Well, then if... Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, we're going to propose to, I guess, bump the UPWP from the agenda. I don't know if you prefer to, you know, we have a couple of reasons, and we can talk about that now, or we can just bump it from the agenda, whatever you prefer.
You just want to move that to the next meeting, is that right?
That's what we're expecting. We had a call with GDOT and Federal Highway about a week ago about there were a couple of things that they, well, maybe more than a couple, but two or three things, main things that they wanted to us to look at in the work program. One was, I guess, increasing the span of the long-range plan update from, I guess, what we had anticipated as maybe 2 years process to make that a 3-year process, which would mean that we would start the plan update as early as the summer.
Well, that's okay.
They've asked us to do an update of the freight plan, and right now we need to figure out there actually was an illustrative task for the freight plan in the earlier draft of the work program, but we took it out for other reasons anyway. But we do need to figure out the funding pieces of that, so we couldn't really be ready for this meeting, so we expect we'll come back.
Okay. That's fine. All right. Any other changes proposed? All right. Then at this time, I will request a motion to approve the agenda as revised.
So moved. It's Leon.
Second.
Thank you, Leon. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the agenda is approved. Moving on to the action item. So the first item is going to be approval of the December meeting minutes. Hopefully everyone's had a chance to review that. I'm sure everyone's read through those. Does anybody have any comments? Did Wicota, did you receive any comments on the meeting minutes?
No, I didn't.
Okay, thank you. Does anyone have anything that any questions or concerns about that at this time? All right. At this time, then, I will request a motion to approve the meeting minutes from December 3rd, 2020.
I can make a motion, but I'm not sure I'm the voting alternate for Melanie.
Melanie's here, so I'll make a move. So moved. Doubly moved. Moved and seconded. There you go.
I'll second. All right. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, with if there's none opposed, then the action item passes. The second item is going to be the Title VI and Participation Plan update. Wycota, are you going to cover that for us?
It's Asia.
Asia, all right.
Please. Yes. Julie, can you share my screen? Let's see. All right. Can everyone see that?
Yes.
Mm. Okay. So we finally come to the end of the process of the participation plan and Title VI plan update. And now we're essentially just that endorsing the plan. So just a reminder of what we've done. So we've basically added some new outreach methods, especially with a focus on distance outreach methods because of COVID-19. We created more methods for people to give their input to the Core MPO by giving out a survey. And right now that survey has about 27 responses. And that was part of our 45-day public comment and review period. And we also released a demographic makeup so we can have more updated information on the demographic makeup of the Core MPO. So after all of those content updates, we're basically now asking for the TCC to endorse this plan and eventually for it to be adopted by the Core MPO.
Okay, is that it then?
Yeah, so now it's just endorsement. Does the TCC endorse this plan? And also both plans have been linked to the agenda, so you can look through these plans as well to see what's changed.
Okay, thank you, Asia. Are there any questions or discussion? All right, hearing none, at this time, I request a motion to endorse the Title VI and Participation Plan update.
So moved.
And your name, please.
Okay. This is Melanie.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And a second.
This is Kayla. I'll second.
Okay, thank you. All in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Are there any nays? Okay, then the motion passes. Thank you very much, Asia. Moving on to, I guess we're skipping the three then. I'm sorry? Okay, going on to the revisions to the fiscal year 2018-21 TIP.
I think we were trying to decide to have this TIP amendment as the consent agenda. Basically, we adopted the fiscal year 2021-2024 TIP, but that TIP doesn't become official until the governor signs off on the STIP, and the STIP references our TIP. So our current TIP is fiscal year 2018-2021, and then the adopted one in December is 2021-2024. So 1 year was lapsing, which is 2021. So we're basically updating the current TIP since it's still the guiding program document to reflect what we adopted in 2021 in December. So I've outlined all those changes to you in December, so we're not going to go through that. So as you can see, basically, we're just going, just matching the programming information for all the projects, the project changes. So we'll just ask for the TCC endorsement of the update, just trying to match the adopted TIP in December. But there are two issues that I do need to talk about at this meeting. First one, I think it's the transit portion, especially if the ferry boat program. I think Ansley is here and Brandeis is here as well. So we need to decide because some of the ferry boat programming funds are lapsing. So GDOT Intermodal needs to know whether CAT would like to program all those funds into fiscal 2021 or as they are right now, because currently they are in I think currently they are in different years, but I think GDOT is asking, because we are only showing the 177, the federal portion. So this is only part of the funds, the ferry boat program funds that are lapsing. So I think GDOT Intermodal wants to know whether CAT wants to program all of that information into fiscal 2021. I think the total is more than $600,000, I think. And then the second issue is we did get a letter from GDOT indicating that we have some lapsing TAP funds. As you can see, I highlight on my screen $881,000. And that need to be obligated by September 30th, 2021. When we developed the fiscal 2021 to 2024 TIP, we didn't have this information. So, and the way that GDOT, the financial department, manages all these funds, we expected all the lapsing funds were already rolled into the revenue projections, but for some reason, they were not, that these new funds were not rolled into those revenue projections. So now currently we just suddenly have this addition of $881,000 we need to allocate to projects. There was this is what we programmed in the new TIP for fiscal 2021. We actually programmed some at that time when we developed the TIP, the total revenue we have is $552,000. That's the matched portion. So the federal portion is a 442. So now we have this additional 881, and this is also the federal portion. So at that time, we programmed some funds for the Chatham County's Girard Avenue Improvement Project. Truman Indian Park Trail, I did reach out to the city of Savannah, and I was told that because we programmed the TAP funds for the construction phase in fiscal 2022, and the city of Savannah is still going through environmental process on this project, mm-hmm. and then they're going to add a right-of-way phase. So there's no way for the funds to be authorized by September 30th for the construction mm-hmm. funds for this. So they basically, city of Savannah declined to accept additional funds for that. So if we don't program the funds on the projects, we might lapse. So this $881,000 might lapse. The second option I did, I want to get some confirmation from GDOT because I know that the city of Savannah's De Lesseps Avenue, we actually allocated De Lesseps Avenue, we allocated these reserve funds on De Lesseps Avenue, and those funds have been authorized. But I think the city of Savannah got one bid. The bid was higher than the authorized funds. So, but since those funds have been authorized, whether it would be okay to allocate these additional funds to that authorized amount. So, I mean, this is a question for GDOT that I have, but just today we need to decide how to allocate this additional funds. Since we are still in the TIP amendment process, we're still in the 15-day public comment period. So we can make any changes during this comment period. So by next Wednesday, if we have made a decision and we can update that TIP amendment report and then report back to the Corn Pure Board what kind of decisions that they will have to adopt at that time. So just the two issues that need to be resolved. One is how to allocate this additional TAP funds. Mm-hmm. The second one is the ferry boat program funds that the CAT and GDOT Intermodal need to decide on.
Thanks, Wicola. This is Bren. I did reach out to GDOT Ansley this week, and we have a couple of questions that we're still working through, trying to make that decision. Of course, not all of the funds that are available to us are going to lapse. It looks like just 178,000 are going to lapse in September. So we've got a couple questions we're working through, and if I understood you correctly, that we need to have a final answer by Wednesday. I would like to have a final answer before that, but yes, we can provide that final answer for you.
Some of the SPP funds are lapsing. All these are from different years, so they're lapsing in different years. So it's okay to program them into 2021, 2022, 2023, 2024. But I think GDOT, I understand what GDOT wants. They want to just program all these funds and authorize them all together. But if CAD is not ready and you're okay just to program them, the most urgent ones, but it's just up to you.
Right. And originally that's exactly what we did. We programmed the most urgent ones. Of course, we don't want any funds to lapse. So whatever we have to do to make that work, we will figure out with GDOT in the next day or two.
Okay. Yeah, just to get back to me by next Monday so that we can report back to the Cornfield Board what decisions have been made.
Okay. Thank you.
And now we need to focus on this, on allocating these funds.
Can I ask a question, Wicola? On the TAP funds, previous guidance from program delivery was that you could use PE funds and it not be, you know, we wouldn't have to follow federal guidelines if we used the PE funds. We just go ahead and use those and do the design and then pay for any right of way and construction later on. I believe that's what Mr. Albers.
Which project are you talking about?
I'm talking generics first. With regards to Albert Shelby had given us previous guidance in that we could use the PE funds. And if that were the only phase we're going to use, we could use those funds, the local jurisdiction get reimbursed. So there are a few projects that the city of Savannah could still program the money for if none of the other jurisdictions have any TAP type projects they have on the books, like Tied to Town. That's something that the city is pushing pretty hard right now. So if it's just PE funds, if we could authorize some of the funds in PE, is that something that we can still do if we're going to use local funds for the residual expenditures on the projects?
Well, we have to amend this TIP to add those projects in. So I think the easiest way for now is to allocate the funds to the projects that are already in the TIP. So actually, for example, the Chatham County's Chevers Road, because when they requested TAP funds, they only requested construction funds. They didn't request TAP funds for PE. So currently in 2021, they're using local funds, the SPLOS funds for the PE. So we can actually allocate some of that $800,000 over here to fund the PE phase for the Chevers Road.
Yes, and the county would like to do that.
Yeah, so it's just easier to allocate the funds to the already existing project in the TIP.
That's fine. Your deadline though is September of this year. We're just trying to make sure that we don't have the funds lapse. So as long as the county can spend them, that's also acceptable to me. I just don't want to see the funds lapse.
Yeah. So if we program like 341 matched funds in this one, on the Chavis Road, so at least the Chatham County can use part of that. So it's like $200,000 for the PE phase. So we would reduce that amount to about $600,000. But if City of Savannah has a new project, we just need to amend it into the TIP. So, but I need to know what project that you are having.
I've got a question. Hi, this is Melanie. It was my understanding that there's a piece, Lynn, that the city is working on that connects to the Truman. That, you know, I'm curious as to whether that could be something that could be part of this and do an amendment, because I know that you all have the funds to do it, so the match wouldn't be an issue. And it does connect up to the Truman Linear Trail. Have you had any discussions with the city about that, or is that something that is a possibility?
Yes. the city manager and I and Nick definitely have all talked about, you know, ways, because the tied to town is so conceptual in the way that's laid out, and that, you know, we're trying to look at ways to make it a more, not just recreational, but commuting in nature, and do some additional spurs, if you would, into the, I call it the interstate, the loop around the city. But those are still a little bit early. But if WACOTA is saying that these need to already be in the plan, and, you know, as we're seeing today, we're adding some stuff to the vision plan. Are there no other TE type projects, type projects that are in the vision plan that are available, that are already spec'd out or at least spelled out in the vision plan?
I think we still have the question about the Lessips, don't we?
Is way over budget. I mean, they received one bid and it was $2 million higher than they had anticipated. Barry's on the call with the city, probably more appropriate him to speak to this, or Steve, but, you know, they either have to rebid the project or come up with additional funds. And right now, as of our meeting today, we're intending to rebid that project.
Yeah, that is one of the questions I want to ask GDOT. Since the TAP funds have already been authorized for that project, for the construction, can we just add to that authorized amount? Like if we use about $200,000 for Terrace Road, the leftover is probably still about $600,000, the federal portion. So if De Lesseps Avenue needs that money, can we just add that $600,000 to the already authorized amount? So in that case, we don't have to program that funds in the TIP. Because, I mean, after the initial authorization, GDOT has the way to like authorize additional funds. So is that something that GDOT can shed some light on?
Hi, this is Tom Caiafa. So can you repeat that? So you're trying to say you're going to shift the money to an entirely different project?
De Lesseps Avenue is in the fiscal 2018 to 2021 TIP.
Yes,
the construction funds were programmed in fiscal 2020. And then the construction funds have been authorized. But City of Savannah is doing the bidding, the project of bidding now. But the bid price is higher. So they apparently need additional funds.
That's going to have to be a conversation you'll have to have with the project manager for that.
But is it, do you know, Tom, if it's possible? I mean, if it's, you know, can we do that with funds after the PE has been authorized?
Can you, I just want to be sure we're on the same page. So just to repeat that, please, as far as what exactly are we looking to do? Just to
add additional funds to the De Lesseps construction phase. Funds have been authorized, but they have not started work.
Yeah, that would require the project, the PM for the project to request additional funding. After the phase has been authorized.
Okay. Well, the city, we can get with Samuel about that, but when do you need a hard answer? Before next Wednesday, WACOTA?
Yes, that would be the best. If that one doesn't work out, and then we still need to program some additional projects in.
So for clarification, we're talking about the county's project that's, what, a little over $250,000 with the remainder funds going to the Delicep, that project to help deal with the gap that they've got for the construction of that project. Is that a correct statement?
Yes, we will allocate the first of all, we have.
Right. So that would mean that if we were able to do that, we would be able to just do that and not have to go through an amendment, because the money it's already included in the program. The work plans.
So we will program about $272,000, $273,000 on the Cherish Road improvement project. And then, but this is the total amount. So after we program these funds on the Chambers Road, we still have some leftover. So we need to program the leftover funds on something. So the leftover funds is about $608,000. So yeah, the federal portion. So if GDOT, GDOT actually did this before. So previously they authorized, for example, $1 million for a certain project. But after the authorization, they found out it's like more than $1 million, it might be $1.2 million. And then they authorized additional $200,000 without going through the TIP amendment process again, because it's after authorization. So they did that before. So that's why I'm just wondering whether this $608,000 can be programmed or can be authorized for the De Lesseps Avenue project, and then we don't have to go through this process. We don't have to go through the TIP amendment process. But if GDOT is saying that is not possible, and then we need to identify additional project to allocate these funds on.
Ned, are you're on the line here, aren't you? Is that something you can check for us?
Yeah, I'll check and get back to you guys before next week. I'll check on it and get back to you guys.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Lakota, just another possibility. I mean, if De Lesseps can use the funds, then I agree that's the best place to put it. But if that can't be done, it's possible that we could, you know, I have a feeling the PE for Chevis is probably going to be a little bit more than what we have shown. So it's possible we could use at least some additional of those funds.
Ned, is it possible that you'll be able to have an answer for us before the end of the day on Friday?
Yeah, I'll try to reach out to them and see what they say about that, and I'll try to get back to you before tomorrow and see. I'll try my best.
That would be great, because if there's other projects that could use the funding, then great. Maybe we could have a backup plan in case that's not allowed. But considering that there's a precedent where they have done it in the past, you might want to remind them that it's been done so that we can get those funds allocated. That would be awesome.
Okay. Thank you.
Huh? Yeah, it's just that GDOT caught us by surprise because they didn't let us know when we were developing the TIP. So it was too late for us to do another call for project because these funds are lapsing in September. So we just need to quickly identify the projects and program them on. Okay. So for this agenda item, I would just ask the TCC to endorse the proposed TIP amendments subject to these corrections, because the Chambers Road is already included. We'll just change the funding code and the funding amount. And then depending on what we find out, additional funds or something, and then we'll decide what other information to be added to the TIP amendment report. So we'll just ask the TCC endorsement of the TIP amendments with subject to all these changes, proposed changes.
Okay, Wycota, are you going to be able to send something out then to everyone with the changes once you have get an answer from GDOT?
Yes.
Yes.
We got information from GDOT saying on Friday tomorrow, and then I should be able
to send it out. And also, you need to provide me the updated cost for this one.
Wycota, you're breaking up.
Mm-hmm.
I think your audio is breaking up. Is anyone else having trouble hearing Lakota?
Yes.
Yes. Basically, I think what she's indicating is that the sooner we get the information, then we will send something out to let the rest of you all know what the status of things are. And it would be great if we can get an answer, if it's possible, by the end of the day tomorrow, so we can send out an update of the status of things. If you all are okay with moving forward with this strategy, maybe we can get some consensus on moving forward with this strategy, and agree to get back if we need to come up with something else for an emergency meeting.
That sounds good to me. Does anyone else have any concerns? about that? Okay. All right. Mark, just a question for you. Since we're doing this online, it's kind of difficult for everyone to speak. Is it all right if we just do a call for, you know, and see if there's any nay votes? And as long as there's no nays, then can we assume that everyone's good and motions pass? Is that acceptable?
I think it would be acceptable as long as the motion has been properly made and seconded.
Okay. All right. Well, if there's no further discussion at this time for the revisions to the TIP, we can move to a motion. Is there any other discussion? Okay. At this time, I will request a motion to endorse the revisions to the 18 to 21 TIP.
It's Leon, so moved.
Melanie, second.
Thank you. All right, so we'll assume that everyone's agreeing with this. Are there any nay votes? All right. Hearing none, the motion passes. Okay. So moving on to the MTP vision plan amendments, please.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay.
Don't move.
I don't know what happened. We actually, for this agenda item, we actually received two project requests from the City of Pooler to add to the 2045 MTP vision plan. One is one is Pine Barren Road improvements. And another one is South Roger Street improvements. What I get information is that the City of Pooler have these two projects in their capital improvement program, and they want to amend these two projects into our vision plan, into the 2045 vision plan, in the expectation that these two projects will get TSPLOS funds in the future. And when eventually these two projects will be able to move into the financially constrained 2045 long range transportation plan, making them eligible for federal funding. That's my understanding of it. So if Leon can shed some light on it for us.
That's exactly right. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, so for us, we would consider this as amendment process because according to the participation plan, you can see either administrative modification or one-step amendment or two-step amendment. For the administrative modification, even if it's talking about the vision plan, but it says, provided that any added project come from adopted study accepted by the current PO board. And this is the first time that MPO has been notified of this. So it's not from our accepted study. So we are proposing this as a one-step amendment. And we are also going to probably reach out to all the other municipalities like City of Savannah, Garden City, Tybee, to see what other projects they want to include in the TSPLOST. So that we can.
Just to tell you, Wakota, that process is already underway. As far as gathering information with regards to possible projects. So we'll have some information from all the municipalities here for long.
Okay. This is Mark. In looking at it, we thought, well, you know, we're pretty sure they won't be the only ones. So we thought it would make a lot of sense just to do a little canvassing and try to bring the board one package of projects rather than perhaps come back two or three times. So hopefully, by the next meeting, we'll be able to have more information and just do it in one fell swoop, rather, I should say.
So for this for this item, our recommendation, as you can see, this is what I think Mark wrote this recommendation. So we're just asking that we're going to have the amendment done in April, but in the meantime, we're going to reach out to all the other jurisdictions about other TSPLOST projects so that we can do the amendment once in April.
All right, if I'm understanding this correctly, though, you're looking for endorsement of these amendments today? Is that correct?
Well, actually, we're looking for endorsement of the staff recommendation. And Lakota's right, I did write this recommendation. It is a one-step amendment, but you know, since there are other municipalities, and as Leon just affirmed, you know, they're starting to put lists together, we think it would make a lot of sense to present the MPO board, rather than piecemeal it, to present the MPO board with, you know, a more complete package of projects for consideration for the vision plan. So we could use the help of any, you know, any jurisdictional representatives on the call today to, you know, help us understand if there are additional projects that are sort of coming up through your internal process that, you know, you would add to a future TSPLOST, you know, that you're aware of, if you could start communicating with us about that. And we'll be reaching out, you know, as well. But, you know, if there's something anyone on the call is working with or knows about, you know, that would be a good starting point. One amendment instead of, you know, three, four, half dozen, whatever. It's just, we're just trying to do it in an organized way.
Mark, I would say that I understand what you're doing, but what I have been asked to do was to get with all the municipalities and start putting together the list that they want to see if, and big word if, a TSPLOST were pursued in the fall. Okay. So I'm trying to get those compiled now. I already have them from a couple of jurisdictions, actually four, five. Once I get all those compiled, I can send those out or back to you guys, copying all the jurisdictions such that they, you know, I guess sort of checks and balances that they know exactly what I'm giving to you. But I'm glad to do that since I've already started that effort.
Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah, we appreciate the assistance. And again, you know, my thought was just, you know, to be economical and, you know, try to go to the board one time with, you know, one comprehensive request if that's possible.
Okay, so what we're looking for now then, if there's no more discussion, is a endorsement of the recommendation, Mark's recommendation to compile a full list of projects to go into the vision plan at the next meeting that would include these two, Pine Barren Road and South Rogers Street improvements, and any other projects that come up at that time.
Right.
But so basically, we're kind of putting this off until we get a full list. Okay. is there any questions about that? Okay. So at this time, I will request a motion to endorse that recommendation.
So moved.
Thank you. And a second?
This is Kayla. I'll second.
Thank you. Are there any nays? Any noes? All right. Motion passes. Thank you. Okay, moving on to other business, we have priority roadways and routes for sea level rise vulnerability study. And who will be?
Alicia.
Present. Alicia, please.
Hello, if I could share my screen, thank you.
While she's doing that, this is Melanie. I'm going to turn, I'm going to have to bow out and turn my vote over to Wakoda, if I may. I look forward to working with you all on future projects and finding out what we will be able to do to expend those TAP funds. So thank you all for your patience and search.
Thank you for joining us.
Okay, can everybody see my presentation?
Yes. Yes.
Wonderful. So I'm giving a very brief presentation. We're seeking input from the TCC on selecting priority roadways for a roadway vulnerability analysis. This analysis is part of a sea level rise study that was initiated by Professor Jason Evans with Stetson University. And he's getting support from Courtney Reisch with GMC. And the study is an effort between Chatham County and the City of Savannah. And it's going to analyze the impacts of sea level rise on infrastructure. With the intent of the study is to allow the county and the city to make informed decisions regarding infrastructure investments with the ultimate goal of increasing regional resilience to future conditions. And as a member of the stakeholder committee representing the MPO, I have been tasked with providing a list of priority roadways for them to analyze in their study. And so I'm here seeking input from the TCC members on selecting the priority roadways. And so when considering which roadways should be a priority, there's two categories to keep in mind. The first category being threats to life and health, where if access to this roadway affects the ability for people to receive emergency medical care. And the second category is causes economic and social strain. So in this situation, if access to this roadway affects the ability for people to get to work or drop off their kids or go to the grocery store, and for companies, if there's a delay in deliveries and canceled meetings. Roadways that fall within these categories should be considered as a priority. And here I've presented a preliminary list of priority routes, and I would like to know if there are other routes or locations that are not included in this table that should be considered as a priority for this vulnerability study.
Alicia, are we looking at the right table?
Are you looking at a table?
Oh, there's a table, but it's not a list of corridors. It's a list of, criteria. I guess I'm asking, did you have a list of specific corridors?
This is a list of like the criteria. So there is specific transit route and freight routes.
Right.
And location for those places. So I kind of need those locations and other, if there are other type of routes that I'm not identifying, what those would be. And if people know specific routes or streets or intersections that are known to be high, and you have a high priority of being able to access during times of a severe flood.
So that, well, you know, I think you and I had previously discussed, I would nominate basically our congestion management process network plus any gaps that we may have had in terms of corridors that didn't have available data last time. So I think you probably captured that here.
So do you already have like Highway 80 out to Tybee?
Yes.
Do you have a list of the roads that you could show us?
I do not have a list of roads. As some of the data is available through GIS, like the transit route, freight route, a VAC route, and then like job centers, hospital, schools, and homeless shelters. Those are all available in the GIS data, and the hope is to get those kind of compiled together and narrow down specifically what those are so I can identify the actual streets and names.
Are you asking for input from folks?
Yes. Is there, I know obviously focusing on state highway routes are very important to make sure that people can have access to those for both health and economic reasons. Are there other locations that I haven't thought of in this list that might be important to access during these times? Are there other certain routes that I'm not aware of as well that would be important to access that I can go through and pinpoint what those actual street locations are?
The only other thing I can think of is that you may want to talk to SEMA and see if they have any recommendations.
Okay.
But as far as specific routes like roads and whatnot, I mean, is there a link that you can send everybody so that we can see what you have already?
I currently don't have a list of specific roadways identified.
Oh, okay. So you're just looking for input on these criteria then?
Yes, yeah, where I should start looking.
And Alicia, could you share the schedule with everyone? You know, when the analysis will start to crank on the proposed network?
Do you know the specific date on when they're starting the analysis? I know our next meeting for the stakeholders is March 18th. And I'm not sure what the study team will have in terms of analysis done at that point.
Okay. It's a fairly short term. Well, what we could do, what I would suggest is that when, you know, obviously Alicia has, you know, the means to pull this list, all the corridors together, we could send it out to the committee in an email blast once she has the list.
Okay, great. That sounds good.
This is just, these are a bunch of criteria that will help her pull that together. So, then we'll have the list and see what it looks like.
Okay, well, if anybody has any recommendations or they think about something later, they can just email that in, I guess.
Yes, exactly. That would be great.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Before we leave from other business, Mark, I did just briefly want to ask you about I know we weren't, the Economic Freight Development Committee was not meeting today, so I just wanted to ask you about the status of the map that you guys were going to work on for us.
Lakota, I believe that actually fell under your shop. Have you had
I haven't got any chance to work on that yet.
Well, we've been stretched pretty thin, but Now that by the time the MPO meetings start, that means we've done a lot of the backup work for that. So usually there's a little bit more freedom with our time once we get everything, you know, out the door and the meetings actually start. So
okay. So maybe for the next meeting.
Yeah, we decided, I think, in April we're going to talk about that, right? So, yeah, in the meantime, I think after we finish with these meetings, we'll start to work on it.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. All right, let's move on to status reports. the federal certification review, please? Who's going to talk about? Mark, is that you?
That's me. There was a PowerPoint PDF attached to the agenda. It's basically the same one that we've been showing for about 3 months now. I don't really feel like I need to show that to you, just to sort of wrap up and let everybody know where we are. We've completed, I guess, what used to be the site visit, but it was a virtual site visit this time. It took place on January 19th and 20th. We wrapped up in about a day and a half. For those not familiar with cert reviews, the quicker the site visit, usually the better you did. So a day and a half is pretty quick. So we're pretty psyched about the results. I think we had a good outcome. We had no. And as of the closeout discussion, there were no corrective actions. We had, a list of recommendations. I think that numbered somewhere up around 15, probably more like 17, possibly 18, depending on how you write them. Key things, probably the most impactful things, I guess, one would be they recommended that we update our freight plan. So we're looking to add that into next year's work program, which is one of the reasons we pulled it, because we need to, of course, identify funding and rough out enough of a initial scope to get that done. The other thing which I really am kind of excited about addressing is that they said our meetings are too long. So we are going to look for ways to, streamline the process. I think one thing that I've been wanting to do for a long time, but we're going to start to see this month, is that we're going to start using a consent agenda for routine TIF amendments. Those may need to be better defined, but what we're thinking is TIF amendments that are production oriented, that are not controversial, minor cost changes, minor schedule changes and projects, things that we've been hearing lengthy detailed reports. We'll now still give you the staff report and still give the board the staff report, but we're going to try approving, at least at the MPO board, things like that on a consent basis starting next week. And we have the perfect TIF amendment lined up for that, which is simply the revision where we're going into the current TIF and modifying all of fiscal year 2021 to match the new TIF that we adopted in December, but which hasn't been formalized by the governor signing off on the TIF. So they've already approved that program in December. They've already, everything's already been through the board. So, you'll see that memo fly through on next Wednesday. In addition, since we record all the meetings, we do have the ability to go back and, do a, fairly detailed dive to see how we're into, the meeting histories. We have recordings posted going back to 2015, so we can, see how long meetings are taking, and, we can check in to some of those outlying meetings that are, let's say, the longest, the half dozen longest meetings of the last 5 years for the TCC, and look at what was going on and, see what kind of possible changes there are. We've already run some statistics we'll come back once we have the written report. I imagine we'll come back to the committees in the future with some, information and seek some feedback about, what potential changes they might like to make in response to, I guess the desire to, have shorter, more efficient meetings.
Mark, is there anywhere we can where we can go and look at the list of recommendations?
We have our own notes that we drafted. We don't have anything in writing from. I kind of prefer not to, you know, give out, you know, our written version, because they're going to be coming out with their own report in next month or so. I mean, I can go down the list with you.
No, that's okay. If there's going to be a report, that's fine. That report will be available.
Yeah, right. There will. That'll be by the end of March. We can hear you, Anne-Marie. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. This is Anne-Marie with Federal Highway. I can jump in on that. I'm actually in the process of routing that report. I finished my final draft. I'm in the process of routing that report. And I didn't want to move our certification up, so I'm going to keep the March 31st, so that report will not get to you guys until around March 31st.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
So you'll have the full report with a list of the recommendations, and I'm glad that you asked about that because it's important. Mark said he counted about 17 recommendations, and without getting into too much detail, during that close-up meeting, we said those were preliminary recommendations, and the number has gone up. And one of the things that Mark mentioned that we recommended that didn't even make it into the final report, because that can be an ongoing conversation with the MPO staff and the various committees. So that didn't even make it into the report because I didn't feel that we needed to put that in the report. So, but everything will be, you'll see all the recommendations and whatever end up in the report. Those are what the MPO and the staff would be, you know, working on and addressing once that final report is issued. So you'll see it around March 31st.
Thank you, Anne-Marie. And Anne-Marie's doing us a small favor by embargoing the report until the date that it's due, because the date that is issued determines the deadline for our next cert review. So it just buys us a little bit of time, because each time we have to do it a little bit earlier to ensure, you know, that we don't run out of time. So, correct.
And that's exactly, yeah. And that's exactly what I'm doing in not moving the time up, because when the last, in 2017, when that last report was issued, it was at the end of March. And then, you know, preparing for this past certification, it was a lot with the holidays and all of that stuff. And I didn't want to move it up. I can't move it back, but I didn't want to move it up because some of the challenges that we might face if we do move it up. So I just wanted to keep it in that date.
Okay. Thank you. Moving on to the status of the recent core MPO RFPs.
Okay, that's my item as well. We have basically only a couple of hurdles left. One will be the MPC approval of the consultant contracts for the 21 access management study that's expected next Tuesday. The GDOT funding contract's in place, so we should be good to go after approval of that contract. The 307 corridor study started a little bit later, and we have it tentatively on the agenda next week also for contract approval for the consultant contract. We just won't be able to sign that until GDOT executes the funding contract with us. So, but that's expected very soon. So we should have notice to proceed on both of those projects before we meet again.
Okay, thank you. Moving on to the information reports. Anyone with GDOT would like to go over the project status?
Hey, this is Troy. Can you hear me?
I need to share. I need to control the screen. Hold on.
Yeah, we got you, Troy. We'll get Wycota to pull that up for you.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, Wycota, if you go to the second form, I think the first form this was one? Provided by Christy Lovett. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So I apologize for being late to the meeting. I don't know if you had a chance to meet our new district planning and programming liaison, Katie Proctor. She took Byron Coward's place. So she's on the call and she'll be giving these status reports at the TCC meeting and policy meetings in the near future.
Okay.
Welcome, Katie.
Yeah, Katie is on.
Yeah, hi.
So yeah, if you make sure she's included in the invites, I appreciate it.
Can you forward us her contact information?
Can do.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right, starting with Project One, the Geechee Road widening project. This project, we're at 6% environmental activities, 70% final plans. We're still working on right-of-way acquisition. We got a slight delay in design. We've had to make some changes to get off some FEMA partials, but we're working through that right now. The F&M Parkway, project plans are 95% complete. Just got notice a couple of days ago that right-of-way has been certified, and we're on schedule to let this in June. Project Three, US 80 at Bull River Bridge replacement, and Project Four, which is a Lazaretta Creek Bridge replacement. Both of those are sitting at 50% environmental activities and 45% preliminary plans. Project Five, Brampton Road Connector, we're at 80% environmental, 80% final plans, and we plan to hold a FFPR in March. And we're still shooting to have this thing let before the end of the fiscal year. Project Six and Project Seven, interchange reconstruction and the I-16 widening from I-95 to I-16 design build projects. They are both at 90% environmental activities and 90% final plans. And of course, we got some construction activities going on as well. Scroll down to eight. So the I-16 at State Route 307 operational improvements, we're at 15% environmental activities and 25% final plans. Project 9 and 10 go together, which is the Savannah River bridge replacement on State Route 25 and the Middle River bridge replacement on State Route 25. They're roughly 80% environmental activities, 75% environmental activities, and the preliminary plans are almost complete on the Middle River Bridge. And jumping down to Project 14, I-16 at Chatham Parkway, the operational improvement project, we're at 18% environmental activities, 20% preliminary plans, and environmental studies are ongoing. Project 15 and Project 16 go together. These are operational improvements at State Route 21 and State Route 30. These plans are pretty much complete, and it's on schedule to the plans will be on schedule to be submitted this month, and it's on schedule to let in April 2021. Moving down to the active construction projects. The first project, Jimmy Loach Parkway at US 80 Interchange and Jimmy Loach Parkway Extension. We're currently at 70% complete, and we anticipate a fall 2021 completion. Project 2, Dallings Expressway, the Wilmington River. We're at 50% complete, and we're also looking at a fall 2021 completion. The State Route 144 widening project in Richmond Hill, we're sitting at 75% complete. And we hope to have the last major shift late spring, early summer, so we can wrap up that construction. The roundabouts of State Route 144 and 995, we're sitting at 35% complete with a spring 2021 completion. Project 5, the Millinery Resurfacing on State Route 25 from Bryan County, Chatham County Line to I-516. We're sitting at 70% complete, and we're looking at a spring 2021 completion. And Project 6, State Route 26 at one location, the State Route 404 spur at two locations. This is a bridge preservation project. We're at 90% complete. More than likely will be completed before summer of 2021. And the last project is 5.9 miles of milling and resurfacing on I-516, beginning at Mildred Street and extending west to the railroad tracks. We haven't started construction on this one, but we plan to have it completed by fall 2021. Are there any questions?
A question on the 516.
Uh-huh.
What are they going to repave with? Are they going to redo the concrete, or will that be asphalt?
It's plant mix, resurfacing, asphalt.
Asphalt, okay.
It's a mill in LA, yeah.
Well, that's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
I've got a question for you, Troy.
Sure.
Does DOT have a project in the works? I don't see anything about I-95 at State Route 21 where the DDI was put in. I mean, was the DDI, was that just an interim improvement, or is that it for now?
So yeah, when the DDI was concept and design, I think it, from an operations standpoint, it had like a 10-year window. To answer your first question, there is a program PI number for that, and the number escapes me at this moment. There's long range projections on that one, but there is a program project for that location.
Okay, thank you. How long ago was that DDI put in? It's been a couple years ago now.
Yeah, that's, you would ask me that.
Sorry.
It's been about 5 years now. Yeah.
Probably 5 or 6 years of that.
So we're halfway there.
Okay.
Road is long, be strong.
That's right. Well, hopefully with the improvements that we're doing at State Route 21 and State Route 30, will help improve some of those operations through the DDI, because we, right now we got a bit of a weaving issue when you're coming out of Rincon. So hopefully those improvements will help the operations there.
Yes, thank you. Okay, well, if there isn't any other questions for Troy, I'll move on to the county projects. If you want to pull that up for me, Wycota, please. And let's see, for the pre-construction, I added the three new projects that we've got, the I-16 at Jimmy DeLoach Parkway Interchange, Chavez Road, and Girard Avenue. Those three that we're going to start PE this year. Hopefully those will get, we have authorization on the I-16 at Jimmy DeLoach. So we'll move forward on that one. At Chavez and Girard, we're kind of still waiting for those to be authorized and get a PI number assigned and a PM assigned so we can get those going. Quaco Road Widening, that one's probably going to be split up a little bit just to get the clearing done first so we can get the utilities out of the way, because the utilities were a big issue on the Quaco intersection at 17 project. So we'll get the clearings done first and then let the utilities move and then put a project out for bid for the construction phase. That's the plan right now. Little Neck Road, that one, the plans are pretty much done. We're just waiting on mostly on a right-of-way acquisition, and then we can start construction there. Skidaway, there's some modifications going to be done to those plans. Islands Expressway at Oatland Island is operational improvement project. The plans are done on that, and we're currently in the permitting phase. Wildtower Road, still in final design and permitting. And that project is to stabilize the slopes where the Betts Creek is actually beginning to erode into the roadway there. The last project we have for pre-construction is the traffic signal on Johnny Mercer Boulevard at Lyman Hall. And that one is under design right now. And there will be a little bit of right-of-way acquisition on that. So, okay, moving on to projects under construction.
Quick question. Go ahead. Sure. Do you know how much traffic Wallpower Road is carrying?
Not off the top of my head, no.
My only thought was that seems like a vulnerable corridor, but I didn't know if it was too small for the vulnerability analysis that Alicia was.
Oh, gotcha. Well, there is another way to go around. So maybe not for the life and safety, but for the economic part, maybe.
Gotcha. Okay. Just wanted to ask.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks. Okay. Projects under construction, both the Truman Trail and Phase 2A and Benton Boulevard extension, those two projects are wrapping up and in the closeout phase. And so right now, the only other project we have going on is Quaquette 17. And that is, we finally got all the utilities out of the way, at least I hope, knock on wood. And so construction is underway and should be done sometime this spring. Are there any other questions about those projects? Any of those projects? Okay, thank you. Moving on, let's see, I think City Savannah is next.
Hey, good afternoon, it's Steve Henry. So Project Duran, right away, final plan preparation ongoing. Design consultant continues to work on the final environmental impact study, the ROD. Process for transferring funds due to COVID is, we blame everything on COVID these days, but delay is underway. Second, sorry, I'm multitasking here. Can't talk now. The lessons we were talking about earlier, we had only one bid for this project, approximately $2 million over what the project estimate was. We plan to rebid it as soon as next week. There was some questions during the pre-bid that we're going to incorporate into the specifications and put it back out. And it's my understanding that we have to do it a minimum of 30 days. So we're going to get it back out as quickly as possible and rebid it. Truman Linear Park Trail. Environmental phase is nearing completion. GDOT is adding right-of-way phase to the project. Any questions?
Steve, I still want to know the status on the right-of-way funds transfer from fiscal 2021 to 2022. What is the status on that?
Leon, you still on the call? You got an update for that?
Yeah, I mean, a letter's been submitted to the Director of Planning.
Okay, so it's...
It was signed by the city manager.
So we're just still waiting from GDOT then?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks, Leon. Okay.
Okay, any questions for Steve or Leon, either one? Okay, thank you. Kat.
Hey all, this is Bren. We've got some exciting stuff going on right now. We've got 6 electric buses. This is the first phase of our electric bus plan. And the first bus is scheduled to arrive on March 15th, 2021. We are in good shape with our electric facilities mod that is happened out there in the yard. And so we're ready to put these buses out on the ground. And they'll keep coming in, those 6 buses. The first couple will come in maybe every 6 weeks, and then the first 3, and then the next 3 will come in starting in, I want to say, September and running through November. So
By November, we'll have six, and stay tuned for more because we have more down the pipeline. 34 paratransit vehicles. We've got an estimated on the ground here of May. So that's great to be able to go through our paratransit and really update where we need to. That includes support vehicles as well. And those will be here a little earlier than the paratransit. That's in April of 2021 this year. Our ITS is in the engineering phase. And while that seems to be a pretty complex process, it's moving fairly smoothly. And we're looking at being all good to go by November of this year. I think the next page has a couple other items. Facilities rehab for interior. We realized that we've got a lot of potential projects there, so we are prioritizing which ones are going to go first, and they are happening now, spring. Ferry boat rehab, that is the IFB came up it quite frankly at a different figure quite dramatically from the cost estimate that we had received when we were planning for it. So we reissued an IFB for the ferry boat rehab, and we're hoping to have that back. I don't know off the top of my head when that IFB is due. The ferry boat maintenance facility and ferry dock in Hutchinson Island, the maintenance facility on Hutchinson Island and the ferry dock on the west end, A&E is in progress. We are still waiting for some property to exchange hands, and then we can keep moving forward on construction, start moving forward on construction, and bus stops, stations, and terminals. I'm hoping to have that finished by September of this year, but I have a fail-safe date of December of this year for those stops. And our goal last year was 20 new terminals with amenities, new amenities, not new stops, 20 and 20, and of course, then COVID. So we're going to finish those up this year and be done again, hopefully by early fall, but definitely by December. That's it for us.
Brent, can I ask, what is IFB?
It's the something for bid. What is the I? Inquiry for bid?
Invitation.
Yes.
Invitation. Okay. Invitation for bid. Okay, invitation for bid then, okay.
Yeah, so rather than putting out an RFP for it, we put out the invitation for bid.
Invitation for bid, okay. And SKT?
Say that again?
SKT?
And oh, Susan King Taylor? That's the
boat. Susan King Taylor, okay. Okay, Susan King Taylor, yeah. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm never the one who has more acronyms than anyone else, so I'll work on that one. I'm always the one who's asking those questions.
Okay, thank you. Anyone have any questions for Kat? Bryn? Okay, thank you. And LAT.
LAT?
Yeah. LATF.
Normally, that's the Low Country Area Transportation Study.
Oh,
that's okay. The okay. Hilton Head Beaufort MPO, Stephanie. Rossi is heading that up, and I don't see her on the call. She's probably busily working on their plan update, which I hear they got a one-year extension from Federal Highway. So kudos to them, but she's probably working hard turning out yet another plan. So she didn't send a report that I'm aware of.
Yeah, she did send this report. Okay. If you want to know any information, it's all outlined over here. So
well, the main focus has been the 17 widening.
Yeah.
Over several years, and it's got more than several years worth of the money in it. That's true.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to share their project status?
I would just share the status that this meeting is currently at 88 minutes, and so you have come in under the 6-year mean and median, which were 102 minutes and 99 and a half, respectively. So,
okay, good, but we're good, not
tight, tight meeting.
Okay, we're trying. Thank you. I do, when we get to the other public comments, I do have one thing that I sort of wanted to bring up, and I'll try to keep this brief so that we don't go over our time. But Benton Boulevard at Jimmy DeLoach Parkway, I was going to, Steve, and we could do this at another time, but I just want to throw this out there. Now that Benton Boulevard extension is open, I'm thinking it's possible that we might want to consider restriping Benton Boulevard northbound at Jimmy DeLoach Parkway for two through lanes. So if that's something that needs to, be done in coordination between the city and GDOT, I just thought I'd bring that up while I've got you guys on the phone.
Yeah, I'd like to schedule maybe a Teams meeting, so we can look at a map together and be sure we're on the same sheet of music as to what we're talking about. Happy to explore options there.
Who with GDOT would be the best person to invite to that? Troy, do you know?
I would start with Cynthia Phillips, Traffic Operations Office.
Okay, will do. Thank you. Are there any other public comments at this time? Okay, hearing none, then moving on to the announcements. The next TCC meeting is going to be Thursday, April 22nd at 2 p.m. Okay, and that's all I've got on the agenda. Mark, do you have anything else that you want to add before we go?
No, we're still good on time. We're still under the mean and the median, and we should have something to report back to you in terms of at least a draft of the freight map or something tangible along those lines. So,
I think Asia has this number 16, the Survey Monkey demographic survey. Yeah, if you want to take the survey, help us to identify participation. That would be great, helpful.
Yeah, and I just put a link in the chat, so if everyone could click that and go through the survey, it's really quick and it would really be helpful with the participation plan and Title VI plan. And it should only take 30 seconds to 1 minute to complete.
It really is helpful for us to document the demographics of the participation we're giving. It helps us with our federal reviews.
I gotcha. Just to clarify, I mean, I think I did that before. Is that something you want us to do after each meeting, or is just a one-time deal?
Just a one-time deal. So if you haven't taken it yet, please fill it out. But if you have, thank you so much. But you don't have to do it again.
Oh, there is one more thing that I wanted to add. Is if there's anybody on the call that needs forms to document their in-kind match, please let us know so that we can get those forms to you timely.
All right, thank you. All right, if there's nothing else, then this meeting is adjourned. Thank you everyone for attending.
Thanks everybody. Yeah.